Here we go. Welcome to From the Ground Up with Mark Weller. I'm Matt Rienzo here with Mark Weller. Hope everyone listening out there has enjoyed our last few pods. We've had some great guests on, but none better than today, Mark. We've been trying to line up this interview for a long time, and I'm so happy we're able to finally talk with Michelle and Nick Freeman of the Freeman Companies.
Well, we're talking about Washington royalty here, right?
That's right.
So we're talking about actually really, really awesome people that are really important in the Washington and Delaware community, and I think it's just great to have them here.
Yeah, and it's going to be a really interesting conversation. By way of introduction, Michelle Freeman is the owner and CEO of the Carl M. Freeman Companies. She's also minority partner of Monumental Sports and Entertainment, a community developer, visionary, and philanthropist. Nick Freeman is her son, and he's the vice president of commercial and hospitality and the managing member of the Freeman Fund, the Freeman family's principal investment vehicle. But most importantly, to me at least, Nick is a former Georgetown Hoya, so we love that about him. All right, so let's invite Michelle and Nick Freeman on the show.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for coming on today.
Hey, hey, you too. Nice to see you both.
Great to see you.
Nice to hear you both, I should say.
And see you. We're looking at each other right now.
Yeah. So. Yes, we are.
How are you doing?
So good. I mean, I feel like spring has sprung, hasn't it, gentlemen?
That's right. That's right. Wow. It feels like it for sure.
Best time of year in the DMV and the beach.
That's 100%.
Right. 100%. Oh, I got to get to the beach.
Beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the beach as we go. But before we jump in, I just want to give a little context for the listeners. Your company has been in business for over seven decades. Since 1947, the Carl M. Freeman Companies has created innovative and inviting places to live, work, shop, and play. The company has developed and managed more than 5 million square feet of commercial space for shopping center and office use, serviced more than 1.1 million square feet of retail, built award-winning beachfront and golf course communities, and developed more than 20,000 homes in 50 residential communities across Delaware, Maryland, West Virginia, and other places, I'm sure, as well. The Carl Freeman Companies is headquartered in Rockville with a regional office in Selbyville, Delaware. So with that, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. You know, Michelle, I want to follow up along on that. You know, you and your team and those that came before you in the company have done such incredible things in development. You've literally changed cities. I've always admired you so much, you know, your family and what you all have accomplished and built. Frankly, how you've done it with such high character and integrity and every step of the way is really what impresses me the most. So tell us a little bit about what the Freeman Companies are all about from your perspective and maybe a little bit of the history of the company as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an honor. I know that sounds super cliche, but like super honor to lead a company that's 77 years old, family run. I mean, you hear all about REITs today, and there's just not many of the old like real estate companies left. And I had the great honor and opportunity to work for my father-in-law, who was like part of that whole Jewish Washington, you know, badass group of developers that, you know, really built most of DC and Delaware and kind of changed the landscape of this place. And I think they were courageous. They were innovative. I think Carl Freeman had this beautiful belief. I mean, he's known for his Americana apartments. He was the first one to drop a bathroom on the outside. And I don't mean on the outside, but on the outside architecturally of an apartment design, and did all of these Americana apartments all around the DMV. And then in 1970, really turned his, and housing communities. But then in 1970, turned his focus to Sea Colony. And I will say, like, that's been a through line of the company, and one that anybody who's worked here really believes in, is like, the company's mission is to build great things, but to innovatively help people live better. Like, how does real estate, how does placemaking help people live better? And mm-hmm. I mean, Nick and I met with like an old time real estate guy. I won't say his name, but I walked into his office in Baltimore and he's like, I bought my place in like 1971 and I won't sell it because I go down there to play the best tennis on the East Coast at Sea Colony. Right. Like, and that's, I think that's been the through line of the company. I think health and wellness, you know, personal connectivity and bringing either great retail or great resi to people who are choosing to live in our communities is what drives us.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, absolute visionary, visionary company. When you talk about it in those terms, and you were referring to other developers in that same era, and there's not many of those left anymore. I mean, it's all institutionalized. I mean, my dream when I was younger was to own an office building down on K Street, because I saw families who demonstrated that you could own a building down there. But that era seems to be gone, and it's unfortunate. But those were the visionaries. And I think in your case with Carl Freeman Companies is you ended up even going further than downtown and the suburbs of Washington, D.C. You also ended up down at the beach, like you said. And that was, well, that seems very obvious now. I mean, that wasn't an obvious selection at the time, correct? So tell us a little bit about how that happened and the history of that.
No, I love this story of who he was, because first of all, I'll say this, especially in light of the times that we're in right now, like his last name was actually Friedman. Nobody would buy real estate from a Jew at the time. And so he dropped the D and became Freeman. And I tell everybody that works for my company, because I'm like, you know, we don't ever want to go back there again as a society, that somebody needs to change their name, mm-hmm. right? To be able to be in business. But that's who he was. He was very tenacious. And, you know, and I think about, you know, Sea Colony, Cabin John, some of these places that he created, and the Lerners and the Bernsteins and some of these other great real estate families. And I think, you know, they had incredible foresight. I think Sea Colony started because someone came to him and said, we don't really know how to deal on the entitlement piece of this. We need a somebody that can be our partner. I think about this when thinking about, you know, the opportunity to partner with great people. And he stepped into a hornet's nest because Bethany didn't. We tell this story in the company where Bethany didn't want him to be a part of Bethany. They were so angry about the towers, and mm-hmm. he kept saying, "Yeah, but I have this great vision. I have this great vision. It's going to be an incredible place." And so he built these towers along the half mile of guarded beach, these 9 towers, and started across the street. He built his own water system because they wouldn't let him hook into town water. He hooked into county sewer. And then the town realized that it was giving up all of this rental tax. And they came back to him and said, well, wait a minute, don't you want to be a part of Bethany? And he said, no, thank you. I've done everything I need to do. And we're kind of on our own island now. And they unfortunately realized the hard way, like the best thing to do is work with developers. Like there's a lot of residual that can come back to a town if you're in step in partnering with a developer. You know, Sea Colony stands on its own today. It has 36 tennis courts and pickleball and 11 swimming pools and a half mile of guarded beach. And, you know, millions of people have experienced incredible memories with their families there. So it's like one of our crown jewels we're super proud of. And yeah. We use it as an example of what good development looks like whenever we step off to try something new.
It's truly master planned and placemaking at its finest.
Well, and on the brand side, I mean, it's its own brand. So it's really amazing. And it stands alone. People would say, oh, Sea Colony. And you know exactly what that is. Bethany comes second to the word Sea Colony in that word. But that's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that. And so, you know, I want to switch gears a little bit with you and just ask you, you know, as CEO, what you're spending most of your time on these days when it comes to running the company.
Yeah, it's funny. We still have a large footprint in Delaware. I mean, part of that is, you know, we're a big fish in a small pond there. I mean, you have some great developers that are coming out of the ground, but certainly Freeman has this long history in that community. And, we pivoted with Bear Trap and decided that instead of, you know, tennis, we would go into the golf business, and we would build about 900 homes around a 18 or 27 hole Rick Jacobson golf course. You know, at times, believe me, after the whole Tiger effect, because that was like, you know, Tiger could, like, he was just setting the world on fire with golf and everybody was golfing. And then there's a moment where you're just like, what have I done? Because you realize, like, people are buying houses regardless whether there's a golf course there or not. I'm happy to tell you guys, not that you don't know this, but golf is having a moment as an owner of 2 golf courses. Like,
yes,
people are playing golf and it is so cool. So fun to see. And yeah, so, you know, we've continued on that path. We did Bear Trap, and we're finishing a community of about 1,500 homes called Bayside, which is built around an 18-hole Jack Nicklaus signature golf course, mixed use, Harris Teeter grocery anchored shopping center out front. And, you know, again, took what we've learned in the past and kind of put it into that community. And I can show you little places, little vignettes in that community where we were like, yeah, that didn't work so well at Sea Colony or at Bear Trap. And then you flip and you kind of change and add something different into Bayside. Yeah.
And you're building the truest form of community from start to finish. It's really awesome. Nick, I want to pivot over to you for a second. You're the vice president of commercial and hospitality and also the managing member of the Freeman Fund. Tell us about your role and what you're up to.
Yeah. And I'll just start by saying thank you guys for having us on. I think you guys gave us a nice shout out in the beginning, but the respect is mutual from our end, watching you guys and all the stuff you guys are doing. It's been really cool to see. We've been friends for a long time, and you know, I've known you, Matt, since Georgetown, and you, Mark, since you know, James Cassidy introduced us, and it's just been really cool to see the stuff you guys are doing. So I just want to give you guys that.
We appreciate that very much.
Yeah, agreed. Totally agree. Yeah.
But no, from a you know, a daily basis, you know, I like to think, and I know you guys know a little bit about this, is just, you know, as a small family owned company, I think, you know, doing a little bit of everything. You know, Michelle likes to say this, but you kind of, you know, if you're here, you know, you're supposed to jump in on whatever. But most of my time, you know, these days is spent on managing commercial assets that we own and then third party manage for other people. And then, you know, acquisition of new centers, and then management for our hospitality venues, which is really golf courses and restaurants down in Delaware. As Michelle mentioned, you know, two golf courses, a couple of restaurants with those, you know, and we've have great partners, you know, Troon and others that help us do that, but really work with them to kind of accomplish what we want to do at those venues. And then, you mentioned Freeman Fund. That was really born out of two things, which we, you know, we don't talk about it often, but it's an important piece of what we do today. And I would say it's kind of two lessons. You know, was born out of 08, and as you guys know, was really tough for real estate developers and kind of figuring out, you know, hey, going forward, you know, maybe not having every single piece of investment we touch be related to real estate. And really the goal was to diversify a little bit, invest in private equity and venture and other real estate that we're not directly involved in. And then, you know, when we sold Cabin John Shopping Center in Potomac, Maryland, we kind of rolled some funds over and were able to start that. And we have a board of great people and look at deals, and it's been a really great thing so far, knock on wood. But it's fun to see stuff that's outside of this, you know, core business.
It sounds like you have a lot going on.
There's a decent amount here. I think we're lucky. And, you know, admittedly, that's what I love about this business. And I think, you know, you guys both could relate. It's like every day is something different. Okay. You know, it's a lot of problem solving. It's, you know, how do we
feels fix like it? It's all problem solving.
Exactly. But I think it keeps you involved. You know, it keeps you so interested. And I think every day, you know, you think your day is going to go one way. And sometimes it does end up like that. But a lot of days you go, all right, how are we going to figure out this lease? How are we going to solve this issue? And it's a part of the business I love, because it's just every day is just something different.
Well, Nick, really cool. I love hearing this from you. When we first started getting to know each other really well, I think you were at a kind of a crossroads where you had a good bit of experience, but were trying to figure out exactly the direction you were going. You had dug in on the business, but you didn't really know exactly where that was. And to watch you sort of transform over the past 10 years into where you are now has been remarkable. So congratulations on that. Mm-hmm. I think you have a great platform and a great palette to gain all this experience. But what you've done, which is impressive, is embraced it, taken it, and run with it. And I think it's making you who you are today. And to watch the stuff that Freeman is producing overall, particularly the stuff that you've been working on the past 5 years, has been incredible. And I think another note I'd make is that working through all of this during COVID That is a true what does not kill us makes us stronger moment.
Agreed.
Think that to operate hospitality businesses, real estate businesses, things along those lines during COVID really shaped us all up for the sort of the larger, broader expansion that has taken place since and probably will continue to take place in a normal market over the next 20 years. So congrats on that. I just wanted to make that note because it's been so impressive to watch your growth.
I couldn't agree more. You know, COVID was just so interesting for, you know, businesses in general, and especially being in the retail business. You know, I took the approach with tenants, you know, work with them because there wasn't a lot of retail tenants on the other side wanting to step into space. So we were really fortunate and to be able to do that. But, you know, definitely a challenging time. And Michelle alluded to, you know, it meant different things for different businesses.
That's right.
Was, you know, very good for the golf business, but, you know, other businesses definitely not as kind.
Well, not funny, but kind of unfortunate that we have to go through these episodes. But, you know, I think back to 9/11 and what happened to the industry for a short period of time after that. And then I thought back to 2008. And so when COVID came along, I don't want to say you're ever ready for anything that's that catastrophic or that unique and unexpected, but it certainly was for people that had been through previous experiences. I think it gave us a leg up after particularly 08, where, hey, we can get through this and there is a bottom and the sun will rise and this too shall pass. And it's just a matter of time. But if you haven't been through it, you don't know it. And I think it's been great, particularly for the younger folks that didn't battle through 08, like a lot of other business folks, to go through this, come out on the other side right now, and then have that perspective going forward when the next big thing that happens. I don't know what it's going to be or when, right? But something will happen and you'll
hopefully
be
not soon.
Yeah, hopefully not soon now. But you know, it just prepares us all. So congrats on you and the company doing such a great job. Pivoting again a little bit over to you, Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, you and your family are minority partners at Monumental Sports and Entertainment. You know,
yeah.
For our listeners who are familiar, Monument is the ownership group behind the Wizards, Caps, the Mystics. How did you come to get involved with that in pro sports? And tell us a little bit about your involvement with Monumental.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're coming off a loss the other night that took the Caps out of the playoffs. And that's always difficult.
That was a tough series.
It was a tough series. I mean, tough team to play coming out, you know, off this season. But, you know, for me, my husband and me, he came home one day. This is Josh Freeman. It was probably 03. I'm going to look at Nick. 03, 04. And he said, listen, you know, friends of mine are offering us to get involved in Monumental Sports. It was called Lincoln Holdings at the time. Mm-hmm. It just owned half the Wizards and the Caps. And it was Michael Jordan's exit that we were stepping into. And you know, I was a real sports fan. I was raised outside. I was raised in Wilmington, Delaware. I was a Philly, like everything, Flyers, you know, Sixers, Phillies, you name it, Eagles. We like blue collar sports fanatic.
Do you still root for the Eagles?
No.
Thank God.
No, listen, this is a huge issue in my life. You can't imagine.
I know. I can imagine. When you were saying that, I was like, this is complicated.
What a girl from outside of Philly goes through as a minority partner of Washington, D.C. teams. My son can attest that it sometimes gets downright ugly. And just ugly. Anyway, we buy in, and then, as you both know, my husband is killed in a helicopter accident in 2006. And at that point, really, you know, you have a minority stake in teams, and Ted Leonsis has the right to buy me out. I mean, that's the way this story goes, is that he has the right to buy me out, and he really leaves me alone for like a year. And he just is completely deferential to the crap I was going through as a widower with a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 15-year-old. And then him and I have a meeting, and I go to his offices at Revolution, and he brings me in, and there's a bunch of lawyers and accountants in the room with us. And he says, you know, I like you, like just on your own. I like you, you understand sports. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I was raised around sports. And he's like, I want everyone else to leave. And everybody else leaves the room. And it's him and I sitting at the table. And he says to me, I'd like you to stay. We're going to raise the Stanley Cup one day. And I want female partners. I got one in Sheila Johnson. I want you to be the other one.
Very cool.
I want you to stay. And Sheila called me and was like, stay. There's only 12 female owners in the NBA. You need to stay. And I remember going back and maybe talking to Nick and a couple other people. And I said, I really want to do this. And I want the family to stay in. And we stayed in. And, you know, I would say that 2018 was one of the greatest joys of my life. I don't want to say greater than having my kids or being married, but, you know, as a sports fan, like, you know, being
sports can overtake those things sometimes in our own minds. It's the way we feel about it. It's just really emotional.
Incredible. So, you know, somebody reminded me the other night on an airplane, it's been, you know, 20 years since we've been involved, and it's been an amazing, amazing opportunity to learn from, you know, my partners. Amazing.
That's such a great story. Thanks for sharing.
That's incredible. And then of another note too, you know, you and I are on social media together and stuff like that. So I always see what you're most interested in, and I always enjoy it because it's fun. It's fun to watch. And you are a huge, huge Mystics fan.
I'm a huge
And WNBA fan.
Yeah.
You know, tell there's been a lot of excitement around WNBA, the additions to it. Sort of the interest in women's college basketball and so on. So, like, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, what do you think about it for the league and for Washington and everything that comes with it?
I mean, you guys, like, I'm a very spiritual person into the business side of things. I think everything has a moment, you know, and you either step into the moment and you take, you know, what you can and you take that momentum and move forward. I think we have a great commissioner. I think women's sports is like, it's poised to be on fire right now. It's got unbelievable viewership. And people say to me all the time, like, well, how do you feel as a female owner, you know, that women are paid so much less than men? And I say two things, really three things. One, that the league itself is only 28 years old. The NBA is almost 100 years old. So, you know, much different business models. Mm-hmm. From an age standpoint, people have to attend and buy merch. They have to attend and buy merch, and people have to view, because the big thing, as you all know, is viewership. It's TV rights. But I think Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, I mean, I think these Cardoza, I think the women of the WNBA, the athletes of the WNBA, are poised to step into the moment that they've just been given. And I think it's the most fun. If you have daughters or sons, it is a great time to take a kid to a WNBA game.
If you use me as a case study, I never watched women's basketball before. I was never interested in it. But this year I watched as many playoff games as I could. And if there's an opportunity for me to watch Caitlin Clark play against Angel Reese or any of those other stars that we saw, I'm going to tune in, honestly. And so I think it's an exciting, moment.
Matt, I think the moment was brilliant because this is my second year of being a fan of women's college basketball. Last year was exciting, and this year was like, I couldn't wait now for it to come back on. And now we're watching these awesome stars graduate to the professional league, which is really cool. Well, that's fun. That's fun. Thank you for sharing.
It's translating to professional too. Like, they just announced for the WNBA game that for the Mystics, they're going to move it to Cap One.
Yeah.
So they're getting demand for the tickets. They're going to, I mean, I think they'll sell.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible.
Which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And along those lines, I mean, talking about that for a second, you know, we all witnessed the potential move of the Wizards and the Caps to Virginia in the media recently. And it was a very polarizing topic that played out in the media and so on.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm asking this because you have a real estate perspective and a professional ownership perspective. So, you know, it's safe to say that most folks from Maryland and DC are pretty happy, at least in my subset of people, pretty happy at staying where it is. Although I would have been okay if it moved over there. I just would have migrated my my time and energy to get over to those games. But I think there's a lot of people that are really happy. You know, I think staying put in, you know, is good for the city and downtown. Just curious if you had any thoughts on that and how you felt about it.
Well, I had two thoughts. One is that I think as CEOs, and you'll both know this and Nick too, it's like our job to keep propelling our businesses forward. So like, that's what I admire most about Ted Leonsis, having worked with him now for 20 years, whether it's, you know, adding the gambling piece or, you know, reaching out to investors that have never been investors. It's like, you know, he's continuing to think 5-10 years down the road. And I think that's what he was thinking about, because if fans from DC went out into the greater marketplace and visited Brooklyn or SoFi or some of these places, you know, fan experience in these newer arenas is off the charts. It's off the charts. Yeah. And people want to feel like they've paid money and that they've gotten this incredible experience for their dollar. So I do think that's what is always driving, you know, Monumental Sports is the fan experience. Fan, and then of course, to get the greatest athletes, you have to have the greatest facilities.
100%.
You have to have a product that the athlete says, I want to live in that city. They care about, you know, the deal and whatever. So that's, I think, the background of how something like moving to Virginia starts. I think that, like, all of us are in real estate now. You have an idea and a vision, and then a million things need to happen through the entitlement process for that vision to become a reality. I don't care whether you're working with a town or a state or appropriations bill or whatever it is. And so all I kept saying to people is like, just hold up. This is a long, this is a marathon, this is going to be a long process.
Not a sprint. No.
Yeah. And I, you know, like for me, God's in the timing of all things. If it was meant to work out, it would have. And if it didn't, then you're not, you know, like you're
sure,
supposed to be where you are.
Sure.
And, you know, as a DC part-time resident, I would have been happy if they were in Virginia. I'm happy, happy, happy that they're in downtown DC. I think it's great for the downtown area.
Yeah. We feel the same. It's funny because when the announcement came out that they were moving over to Virginia, I didn't look at the negatives. I looked at the positives because I thought, wow, they're going to create their own environment. You know, we've studied, we almost built several arenas. We've worked on several large scale venues with folks like Oakview and others. And so we thought it would be amazing. You would create an entire world that was essentially built around this incredible franchise with all these great teams and control the whole place. Also thought it's great to go back and reinvest in DC, but either way, totally understood on why you have to do this and what's necessary to do it and how to keep yourself relevant. And the experiences, you're right, the experiences nationwide in these newer arenas are extraordinary. And they are, you know, whether it's the bunker seats below, the ease of getting to a restroom or VIP facilities, or just the fan experience from up above. Some of these arenas are taking what would be the lowest dollar worst space in the entire arena, such as Vegas, and they've created the most unbelievable hangover kind of venues that you could look down on the game with a group of 50 or 60 people. So there's an endless amount of, I think, arena design has evolved probably more in the last 20 years than most other types of real estate design, or even 30 years, especially. And I think that I could totally understand why what happened. I'm excited they're staying, but I'm excited about the reinvestment, but I would have been excited if they went over to, and I do not doubt for one second that Ted Leontis's vision was extraordinary and wonderful and going to be incredible. And I don't doubt for a second that it will be down in downtown either.
It taught me a really important lesson. I know that, like, look, I'm 57 years old. You keep learning. I love that saying, you're either winning or you're learning, you know? And and one of the things that that I learned is, like, be careful what you say during a process, you know? Like, so many people had so much to say instead of just allowing it to play out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of your words you can't bring back, and you can't put back in the genie bottle. And like we all know, entitlement is not easy. And and so you just let things be. And I, like what we all just said, it's I'm happy to be opening the season next year with the Wizards playing and the Caps playing in Capital One, and invite everybody down to, you know, the sports and entertainment facility in Southeast in St. Elizabeth's, which all summer will, you know, the ladies will be playing there. And to Nick's point, yeah. I think two games at Capital One.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I don't think many people know this, but I'm not sure if it's the most utilized because you have Madison Square Garden and a few others, but it's in one of the most utilized large scale arenas in the world, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's like over 250 or 300 events a year, and it's good stuff.
You think about how that works, and that's another good reason why the modernization will help a lot. Flipping that from event to event every night must just be the most incredible. I mean, I've seen what happens to do it. It must be just an incredible task to deal with.
It's wild to watch. Wild. Well,
that's exciting. So we're excited for that, and we can't wait.
All right. What we're going to do is take a quick break, and this will conclude part one with Michelle and Nick Freeman. Join us next time to hear the rest of the conversation. Thanks for joining us on From the Ground Up with Mark Weller. I'm Matt Rienzo, and he's Mark Weller. Keep building, people. We'll be right back.